WSHU, the station you know, trust, and count on, is more relevant than ever. I'm Ann Carrick. Your support makes it possible for us to deliver what you need, exactly when you need it, wherever you are. With your help, we tell the stories that matter, connecting the facts and uncovering the truths that keep you informed. Thank you for listening and supporting WSHU Public Radio. We're expanding our world together.
A family-owned bowling business on Long Island is running a unique fundraiser for military vets. Joseph Laspina with Maple Family Center's Bowling Alleys says they're closing in on their $1 million goal for the Bowlers to Veterans Link fundraiser. It works to improve quality of life for veterans and active duty military.
We're currently, as a company, our little family business has raised, as of today, about $950,000 for BVL. So we are well on our way. Hopefully we're going to get it. Hopefully by the end of the year.
Laspina says there are multiple ways to donate to the foundation. That includes bowling special games at Maple Lanes. The $1 million goal coincides with Maple Family Center's 65th anniversary. This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Connecticut lawmakers will vote tomorrow on a plan to use a $500 million surplus for social programs. A New York law now requires new safety rules for AI chatbots. A plan from Eversource to sell Aquarion is not super popular with some Connecticut officials, plus how New York voters really feel about their candidates for governor. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont and state legislative leaders have agreed on a bipartisan plan to use $500 million from the state's surplus to backstop federal cuts to social safety net programs. WSHU's Ebong Udama reports lawmakers will vote on the deal in a special session tomorrow.
The bipartisan agreement gives Lamont the authority to use the emergency funds to make up for the federal cuts until state lawmakers return for the regular session next year.
Between SNAP and the food support and LIHEAP, we think $500 million is a number that takes us through to the regular session coming up in February. So I'm really pleased that we're able to come to this position and give citizens of Connecticut some confidence and comfort.
Speaker Matt Ritter says the urgency to create the fund was increased by the ongoing federal government shutdown.
There's a lot of volatility, not only with SNAP, frankly, with the Washington, D.C. right now. And the fund, I think, becomes more important. It's a sign to Connecticut residents that we have a backstop to fill you whether we're in regular session or we're not.
Vincent Candelora is the House Republican Minority Leader.
I will say that across party lines, people have been supportive.
The agreement requires all four legislative leaders to agree on Lamont's spending plans. Any unspent money goes back to the state's reserves in February. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul says AI companion companies are now required to implement safety features for users that use chats for emotional support. WSHU's Janice Roman has more.
A new law in New York requires companies to put strict safety rules around artificial intelligence chatbots. In an open letter to AI companies, Hochul says bots must have an intervention plan if users express thoughts of suicidal ideation or self-harm. Safety protocols require that the chatbot refers users to a crisis center. It also requires that users are reminded every 3 hours that they are not interacting with a human. Companies could be required to pay non-compliance penalties, enforced by the New York Attorney General. Fines collected will help fund suicide prevention programs. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
Eversource's $4 billion-plus plan to sell off the water company Aquarion isn't popular with some Connecticut officials. They include State Attorney General William Tong and dozens of town leaders, WSHU's Davis Donovan reports.
The utility company wants to offload Aquarion to a new quasi-public entity. Tong says that'll lead to rate hikes and price gouging.
This deal stinks. And the state opposes this deal because ratepayers are going to get crushed. People in our towns and our cities that are served by Aquarion are getting hurt right now. And they're barely able to put food on the table.
The deal would make Aquarion a government agency and take it out from under the oversight of PURA, the state's utility regulator. But first, the plan needs approval from PURA itself. More than 700,000 people rely on Aquarion for water in Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New Hampshire. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
The race for governor of New York is on. How voters really feel about their candidates is coming up. Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
I'm Suzanne Bona. My first car was this gigantic Chrysler Newport. My parents were Chrysler Newport people. That Chrysler Newport was the car I learned to drive on, except that I wrecked it about a month in after getting my driver's license. It was pretty bad. So then I graduated to one of the other Chrysler Newports that we had in the fleet. To donate your car to WSHU Public Radio, just go to WSHU.org.
Riverhead's Police Benevolent Association held a Veterans Day tribute outside Calverton National Cemetery today. A larger annual ceremony there was canceled this year due to the federal government shutdown. The cemetery is still open to visitors during daylight hours. A former teacher from Middletown, Connecticut, can move forward with a lawsuit after her school put her on leave for using the N-word in a lesson on racial epithets. A judge has ruled that she's protected under free speech. A trial is set for next year. A Long Island high school student faces deportation after he was arrested by immigration officers a few weeks ago. He's been charged with petty larceny, a misdemeanor in New York. ICE says he came to the U.S. illegally from Guatemala last year. This is the second Roosevelt High School student to be detained by ICE. The University of Connecticut Health Center is close to closing a deal to buy Waterbury Hospital. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports the hospital has been struggling over the last 2 years.
Waterbury Hospital is currently owned by Prospect Medical Holdings, the California-based company that was seriously hurt by a cyber attack in 2023 and later filed for bankruptcy. State health inspectors have found poor conditions at the hospital, including serious staffing issues and rusty equipment in operating rooms. UConn Health is putting up $13 million for the deal. The state is also expected to assume some of the hospital's liabilities. Lawmakers will vote on whether to approve state funding for the deal during a special session this week. The sale hearing is on November 17th. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
After more than a decade in the nation's capital, Congresswoman Elise Stefanik of New York has turned her sights to Albany. The Republican from upstate announced her bid for New York's top job last week, hoping to unseat Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul. The New York Public News Network's Emily Russell spoke with voters in the Adirondacks who see flaws in both candidates.
Elise Stefanik was first elected to represent the North Country in Congress in 2014. Back then, she was seen as a moderate and pledged to be a fresh voice in Washington. On the morning Stefanik announced her bid for governor, I meet Zebulon Edwards at a gas station in Raybrook. He's a Democrat and says he appreciated how Stefanik governed in those early years.
I would say probably her first like 3-4 years was great. I actually really liked her. And then she kind of took a turn, and it seems like things I've gone in a different direction with her, and I don't support that anymore.
Edwards is referring to Stefanik's hard shift to the right and her unwavering loyalty to President Donald Trump. When it comes to Governor Kathy Hochul, Edwards says his opinions are mixed.
I would like to see somebody else run for governor.
As a Democrat or Republican?
Either one. I don't really have a preference for either party right now. I just want to see something fresh, something new.
Hochul has struggled to build support in rural upstate regions like the North Country. She lost every county here in 2022. Dan Olson is a school bus driver from Saranac Lake. He's a registered Republican and is critical of some of Hochul's mandates, like her push for electric school buses and all-electric home appliances.
It seems like she likes to ban a lot of things, like ban gas stoves. All houses have to be electric by a certain date. And electric heat is really expensive. Especially around here.
Olson believes Stefanik understands those issues, and he thinks she'd bring more federal dollars to the state since she's got close ties to Trump. But Olson would also like to see Stefanik stand on her own and put some distance between herself and the president.
I think she really needs to be a more independent thinker, and hopefully if she does get elected to this new position, hopefully she can kind of de-align herself with the president.
But other Republicans see Stefanik's self-described ultra-MAGA stance as a good thing. James Walker is a registered Republican and lives out near Bloomingdale. I meet him sipping coffee in a gas station. Walker thinks Stefanik's loyalty to Trump will help her in the governor's race.
There's a lot of people in this area that are for Donald Trump, so I don't think that's really going to hurt her chances.
But statewide, Democrats outweigh Republicans by a 2-to-1 margin. A Republican hasn't won the governor's race in New York since 2002. There are also more than 3 million voters unaffiliated with any political party. Walker has voted for Stefanik in every election and is happy she's trying to oust Hochul from the top job.
I think Kathy Hochul is dragging us down. I'm a retired correction officer, and she didn't really do good for the correction officers.
Inside a cafe in downtown Saranac Lake, Lisa Meissner and her husband are out for breakfast. They're both Democrats. Meissner is critical of Stefanik's voting record, especially her support for Trump's big tax bill this summer, which will make massive cuts to Medicaid. That program provides health coverage to more than 30% of folks in the North Country.
I mean, we could lose all our hospitals in the North Country because of her actions. So that, I don't think she's serving us.
Meissner says she's not wild about Governor Hochul, but she thinks Stefanik could be really dangerous for New York. The last time Hochul was challenged by a Republican, Lee Zeldin, she won by just a narrow 6-point margin. New York has long been seen as a solidly blue state, though it saw the biggest swing of Republican voters nationwide in last year's election. In Saranac Lake, I'm Emily Russell for the New York Public News Network.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or download our free WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. From all of us here at WSHU, just want to take a moment to say thank you to all the veterans listening. We appreciate your service and sacrifice today and every day. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll speak with you tomorrow.